Hi everyone, we're back briefly. It's been a while, so hopefully we remember how to do this. Welcome into your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast, Scrambled Eggs. I'm Joe McCann. Phil Bush is here too. And Phil, first thing I want to say off the bat is congratulations to the class of 2015 at Marquette. Graduated this weekend. Now they are just old alums like us.
Yes. Now they can start getting phone calls from the university asking them to donate with their infinite funds their degree has provided them.
Exactly. I'm sure they will all get their careers off to great starts, I'm sure.
Yes, but absolutely.
Anyway, contribute if you can, but congratulations. Welcome to the Marquette Alumni Group, and I hope you continue to listen to this podcast. And if you, if you're listening now, I would hope you can continue to be because you like Marquette basketball that much. You know, Phil, we had talked about doing this podcast about a week or so ago just because we hadn't done one in a while and there hadn't been much Marquette news. And I guess that's a good thing. No news is good news in some respects compared to some of our past off seasons. But maybe we thought if we had a podcast and then maybe some news would happen just to make this one a little more dated.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's our usual MO is we record a podcast and within 48 hours, it's no good. Well, someone could argue that it was never good to begin with, but it is
less good.
Less good and less topical.
But fortunately, before we recorded this one, there was a little bit of breaking news for Marquette in the recruiting world. We're going to start there today. Andrew Rousey, a transfer from UNC Asheville, has committed to your Marquette Golden Eagles. For those of you who don't know that much about him, briefly, he is a 5'10 guard. I guess he's a combo guard, can play the point. Really good scorer, good shooter, shoots about 38-39% from the floor and from three. Averaged 20 points a game as a freshman, almost the same as a sophomore. So he has to sit out 2015-16, but he will slide in as a junior. So he'll essentially be in Dwayne Wilson and Sandy Cohen's class as far as classes are concerned. Nice pickup, Phil, in my opinion, but you know, I just wish, selfishly just getting greedy here, I wish he was eligible this coming season because it would be nice to have a little more experience at point guard. But as far as a scorer, a shooter, I think he's the type of player Wojo's been looking for.
Right. I think he gives you some offense off the bench. He's got a skill that translates. The three-point line is the same distance from the hoop in the Big East as it is in whatever conference.
Big South. He was the Big South Player of the Year, I believe.
Oh, well, see? Even better.
I think he was one of the top scorers in the Big South. I don't think he was the Player of the Year, but he was one of the top scorers in the Big South.
Right. So the three-point line is the same distance, and that's his major skill. Probably a better, seems to be a better shooter than Jake Thomas, a little shorter, better bottle handler. So, he's not going to get huge minutes off the brief videos I've seen, but you know, he might get 10, 15 minutes, come in as a brief spell as a two guard or, you know, kind of an instant offense, one guard. And, you know, you always got to have players that can fill minutes and fill roles, and it seems like he can do that. But yes, I agree. Wish he was eligible for next year because that would be a nice little zone breaker piece we could use.
Yeah, so the thing is, I think he could actually play a lot depending on how good Tracy Carter is. Because Marquette may have if Dwayne Wilson is going to stick at the two, because it seems like he's kind of – like the way people talk about him, looks like he's more comfortable at the two even though he can play both spots. But I think if Rousey is a proven shooter and scorer, I think he could play a lot of minutes in his 2 years of eligibility at Marquette and could probably get the lion's share of minutes at point guard if he proves to be a more consistent scorer and does not – and, you know, handles the ball well, doesn't turn it over, and can create for others. So it's going to be a competition for him, and he's going to – with him and Tracy Carter. Now, Carter may have the advantage of being on the floor this year, being a younger, but you know, being a younger guy, that may be a disadvantage going forward because Rousey will have the experience going forward, and I know he would like to play this year, but I think he may actually play a lot depending on how other players develop in the point guard slot for Marquette. So again, we won't get to find out for a couple years, but I would rather have him than not. So
right.
I think that was a good pickup.
I think he's a safety blanket. Everything I'm hearing, though, out of Tracy Carter is the team is comfortable handing him the starting role to begin with, which is saying something as a true freshman coming in off the street. So we'll see. But you know, if nothing else for next year, he provides Rousey provides a good a good check against Tracy Carter, or a good practice mate in scrimmages to kind of challenge him and stuff like that. So it'll be good to have, you know, why leave scholarships unfilled if there's someone of talent that you can bring in?
Yeah, and on that note, that's kind of the news we've been waiting to break for the last, I'd say, month and a half since the season ended, is what was Marquette going to do with its three available scholarships? It was two at one point, but then it became three when Steve Taylor left. I guess he's landed at Toledo. So, you know, if anyone had, like myself, maybe had held out hope that he may pull like what Juan Anderson did and doubled back and changed his mind and stuck it out for one more year. But no, that ship has sailed. So he's going to land at Toledo. So good luck to him. I wish it would have worked out for Steve Taylor at Marquette. So he's off the board to Toledo. But Marquette still has two scholarships to play with. And I guess there's really not much buzz as far as where Marquette is going there, because Wojo apparently, you know, looks like he went for some home runs in the transfer world, which I was totally cool with. I think you got to go for those. He was really hot after two in particular, Phil. Damian Lee, who was a scoring wing from Drexel, he landed at Louisville, and Sean Miller was a big man. He was basically a power forward who was from the Ivy League, and Cornell, he landed at UConn. So Wojo, I mean, they went hard after both those guys and did everything they could to get them on a visit. They just couldn't seal the deal. So sometimes you swing for the fences and you just strike out a little bit. So they didn't get those two. So I guess the question is, you know, where do they go from here, Phil?
Well, you never bank scholarships, especially with two. I mean, we saw last year when eight strong went down to seven strong and almost went down to six strong. You know, you want to bring players in that have some talent, because no offense to the Maki twins, but I'm willing to bet there's some Division I talent we can give some scholarships to that would likely be ahead of them on the roster. So you got to go out and you got to find the best available, preferably. At this point, I would say grad transfer or a one-year JC, simply because to balance the classes, we don't have any seniors for next year, and we don't want to, you know, we want to have some scholarships available for what looks to be a talent-rich 16-17 class.
Yeah, and it seems like when you read, like, if you follow the MUBB hashtag on Twitter, most of the news as far as recruiting goes, seems like they're chasing guys in the 2016 class, which is great, and they've been on quite a few guys, offered a few. Sam Hauser, the name that comes up a lot. I think he was actually on an official visit to Marquette
this weekend. Yeah, this weekend.
So, I haven't seen that the commitment is imminent. I think he still has some official visits to take. I think he sounds like he's maybe waiting on a few more offers. You know, like he wants a few more schools to offer and get involved before he commits anywhere, which is fine. I think kids should look at all their options, take all their visits before they commit somewhere personally.
Yeah.
But it's good that Marquette is getting that visit early, and obviously Marquette has the relationship with Hauser, which is great, and they're on a few other kids in-state and out-of-state, but no commitment seemingly imminent in the 2016 class. But I think seems like that's where Wojo and the staff had been focusing most of their efforts, at least as far as the reports on that I've seen.
Right. Well, I think there's one player out there that I know of that seems like it might be a good fit and would be for next year is Tomas Giello.
He's from Liberty, which I guess he's the player to be named in the John Dawson
game. Yeah. Yeah. We just got to wait for the waiver wire to clear so we can pick him up. But he would be a grad transfer, and he seems like a kind of his niche is rebounding, which, based on what we have coming back and the unknowns of the players coming in, rebounding is a need.
You need somebody to fill that Steve Taylor role. Right?
Correct. And so that might be might be a good fit. And as you pointed out off mic, he's Polish, so we probably have no chance with a guy named Wojciechowski to land him.
I think he's in. Man, he's got to sample some of the Polish fare up there in Milwaukee. There's got to be all kinds of stuff that would draw him.
Glumpkies for everyone.
Yeah, there you go. Get him. He is a pretty good shooter too, by the way. He's about 40% 3-point shooter, that Giallo kid. But like you were saying, Phil, at this point, based on Marquette's current roster, the fact that they have no seniors for next year, and that they obviously want to leave a few scholarships open for some of these names they're chasing in 2016, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to add, certainly not add any more incoming freshmen, or, you know, just, or add any other transfers who are just going to take up, you know, space on the roster, and then you're going to look at forcing, you know, having somebody transfer at the end of this year just to free up spots for any 2016 commits.
Right.
So, like you were saying, I wouldn't expect them to necessarily give up and just say, and just bank the scholarships. But I also don't think Wojo's going to just bring in a guy just for the sake of bringing in a guy. You know, just a guy who's not going to play at all, a guy who really doesn't help the team, a guy who, you know, maybe wouldn't even get the work done in the classroom. I mean, if he's going to bring in someone, it's going to be someone who can help the team at least a little bit. And who would, at this point, it might be someone who would have to be willing to accept a lesser role.
Right.
You know, a lot of these transfers, the reason they're transferring is, you know, they want to play more. And, you know, in these grad transfers, the ones we're talking about, they're guys who want to maybe up their NBA stock or professional stock a little bit in their last season. Maybe some of them have played at small schools and just want a taste of March Madness. Maybe that's another reason they're transferring, or maybe they just don't like the situation they're in. But, yeah, I think Gallo is the only other name who's eligible next year who is still out there, who apparently Marquette is in on. So we'll see if he would be a good one to land, just from the depth perspective.
That's the whole thing you're building for, is you're building for depth at this point. Because, there is something to be said. You fill the roster, but there is something to be said. Next year, whether you think we're going to go to the tournament or you think it's a rebuilding year or what have you, you're going to have a lot of young and inexperienced players, and you're going to want to get them minutes. So why bring in players that are going to not be happy with limited minutes because you're trying to get experience and time for hopefully your super duper stars going forward?
Yeah, because obviously, you know, some of the rules are kind of defined next year. I mean, there's some still that we need to figure out, but obviously you figure your starting center is going to be Fisher. Dwayne is going to be starting somewhere in the backcourt. Juwan Johnson, if he's not starting, he's going to be playing significant amount of minutes at the guard spot somewhere at the 2-3. And then from there, I guess, and then, of course, Henry Ellenson's going to play a ton at the 3 and the 4. So, and then from there, you know, it's just you're looking for a few role players. Maybe you can find if you find someone – a little more experienced option at the point guard spot, you would consider that.
Right.
But there's just not a whole lot out there. But, well, I mean, as far as guys that are significantly better than what Marquette has on the roster now. But there are hundreds of names, or I don't know if it's hundreds, but it feels like hundreds when you look at that long list that Jeff Goodman from ESPN posted. There are just so many names on it, and a lot of them have not committed anywhere yet. So we'll see where they all land, and I don't know how many, if any, Marquette is in on, but I'm sure Wojo is still shopping for ways to improve this roster the best he can, because I know he doesn't want to sit through another 13-win season, and I don't think he will.
No, I don't think so
either.
But
it would be nice to add a little depth for this coming year, which, given that the Ellenson brothers are going to be playing next year, it could be, you know, the talent should be there to be significantly better next year. Now, are we talking Final Four? I don't think so, but, you know, it's nice to think like that. But, you know, a lot of the players were tweeting about that during the tournament. They said, you know, mission Houston next year, which is great. You know, that'd be awesome to see.
Right, right. But, well, if only Twitter hashtags got you there.
Yeah, if Twitter hashtags got you places, Marquette would be undefeated.
Yeah. Yep. And I would be considerably richer than I already am.
Yeah, but we'll see what they're able to do next year. But still, as I've said many times before, next year might be the only year you get Henry Ellenson on campus, because, you know, he may have NBA options after that. So I'm sure Wojo will try to load up next year's roster to get the most out of that that season. Maybe you should get Ellenson for more than that, but you can't really be sure. And we'll see. We'll see how he develops from there. So I guess it's kind of wait and see from there as far as the rest of the Marquette roster is concerned. I think Rousey was nice to pick up, but still some work to do as far as Marquette goes for 2015-2016. Other news, I guess, since we've our last podcast, Phil, I guess maybe one thing to touch on briefly. Who knows? I guess we're not sure exactly when it'll be built, but there's been a lot of talk there in the Milwaukee area about the new arena for the Bucks, which presumably Marquette would play in.
Yes. And in fact, they've already If there is a new arena, Marquette has already come out and said, no, they're not helping pay for it, but yes, they will pay rent, essentially, is what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. So Marquette's in, and in fact, Marquette has a, and there was, I think a week ago, they tweeted out some pictures. Marquette's in a partnership with the Bucks to create a premier athletic training, sports research facility. That and Marquette's already acquired the land for it, and they're going to get they're in a partnership. The Bucks are going to contribute financially, assuming they stay in town, to build this facility, and that'll actually be where the Bucks practice. Or no, I take that back. It'll just be a research area because the practice facility will actually be next door to the new arena in the current proposal that's been rolled out. So there's a lot of positive. The arena, it seems like it's got too much momentum to not get done. But as always, politics are such fun, and it's really a case of the owners and the ex-owner Herb Cole have essentially so far publicly ponied up about 50% of the cost of the proposed plan. So about $250 million of the $500 million or so. And the owners have basically said, well, we need the city, county, and state to come up with the other half. And as usual, our politicians are squabbling about who pays what and for what and how much and all that stuff. So it's still to be hashed out. But it's interesting. I think some people have seen the plan. The plans were published and widely shown around Milwaukee. And I, for one, am pretty excited about the opportunity. They're on the right track if they can just get the money.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not going to get into the politics of it too much. I just hope it happens just because it would be great for Marquette. You know, Bradley Center's been a great home for Marquette for a long time, but, you know, it could use some up, you know. It's gotten a little old.
And right. Well, and
having a state-of-the-art facility to play in is never bad for recruiting.
Right. Well, not only the state-of-the-art, but if the stadium doesn't get done, the Bucks leave Milwaukee. That's a known thing. That's a right. given. And so if the Bucks leave, one, Marquette's likely going to have to pay more money for the rent at the BC because it's only them and the Admirals and some concerts, so they're going to have to bear more of the burden. And the other aspect of it is that you kind of lose that recruiting appeal of the Bucks. I mean, we know, you know, anecdotally that, you know, Todd Mayo kind of came a little bit maybe because OJ Mayo was here and some of the young Buck players, Jabari Parker, kind of got used a little bit. Wojo's relationship with him was beneficial in landing a couple of recruits for this year and last year and stuff like that. So you would lose that piece of it if the Bucks weren't here. So they really, it's in Marquette's best interest to hope everybody gets a stadium done.
Yeah, I think Todd Mayo actually came to Marquette before.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I get your point. I mean, having NBA players hanging around the program is awesome, and you know, especially when you know, with the current situation of Wojo and Jabari Parker both being there, and Wojo can kind of text Jabari whenever he wants and say, "Hey, man, I've got a recruit coming up this weekend. If you have any interest in, you know, just kind of hanging out at the Al, that'd be great."
Yeah.
This afternoon.
Well, and if nothing else, plus the fact that former Marquette players, you know, like Dwayne Wade and Wesley Matthews when he recovers and Jay Crowder and all those guys, when their teams come into town to play the Bucks, it's another touch point where they can do some help you with recruiting or
yeah,
you know.
they always visit the campus and they always, you know, there's always pictures on Twitter of you know, whether it's Wade or Matthews or whoever it is in town working out at the Al, because like basically the Al McGuire Center is essentially the visitors workout facility when they play the Bucks. So seeing those players there is great. So Marquette, bottom line is Marquette needs an NBA team in Milwaukee. So hopefully this thing gets done. And selfishly, it's easy for me to say because it's not my money, but selfishly for me, I just want that arena to get done. And whatever, you know, whatever the cost, and well, maybe not whatever the cost, but at a respectable cost to the public, and hopefully it, you know, it would be very beneficial for the city and for Marquette.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you look at the financials, if you look at it with an unbiased eye, you know, the cost if you lose the Bucks in terms of maintenance, the state then has to take on that the Bucks were paying for and some other things. You know, if you don't pony up the money, it works out to the state maybe saves maybe $10 million over 10 years or something like that. So it's kind of one of those things, like, it's just better to keep the status quo, keep the Bucks around. And there's some really cool ideas out of the design. Like, there's plans for an outdoor kind of beer garden. I'm going to try and talk somebody into putting a Top Golf in there.
yes.
And we can just – it would just be awesome to hang out around there. And so we'll see. It you know, I think there's enough momentum that it's going to happen, but you never can tell with things.
Yeah, if you need an investor for Top Golf Milwaukee, you can put me down for, like, you know, $100.
Wow. Yeah, so is that what you're not donating to Marquette this year?
Yeah, exactly. Just shift that from the Marquette.
I got to call my financial manager. I'm reallocating funds.
Yeah, to invest in Top Golf Milwaukee.
That'd
yeah, be awesome.
That would be.
But again, hopefully that gets done. I just want to touch on that as we kind of try to fill this podcast with some Marquette-related news, as there are no games going on. But I did want to touch on the team a little bit. I guess one other thing to mention before we get out of here, Phil, is at least talk about the proposed rule changes to college basketball, as because, you know, last college basketball season was a little rough for Marquette fans just because the team wasn't as good. But a lot of people nationwide complained about the season just because some of the games were a little tough to watch. And looks like the NCAA is trying to take a few measures to make the game a little more entertaining. I don't know if some of the proposals are necessarily fixing everything, but some of the highlights recently, I guess some proposed changes. The easiest one to explain, of course, is the change in the shot clock. The 30-second going to 30 seconds from 35 seconds.
Well, and that one, you know, there's some people – I'm actually confused. There are people that are absolutely against this, and I don't get it. You know, the argument seems to be, well, in 30 seconds, the offense will be rushed, and there'll be bad shots, and it'll just be terrible offense. And I don't know if they realize how long 35 seconds is and how much teams – Madison sit around for 27 seconds before starting their offense. So now they can sit around for, 22 seconds before starting their offense. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I think over the it may just result in just maybe just a few more shots a game.
Right, few more possessions, but anything that can quicken the action a little bit, have a more consistent pace of action would be ideal.
35 seconds is a long time.
It's forever.
So I'm all for shortening it. I don't think it solves everything, and that this game college basketball is not going to suddenly be like, you know, Loyola Marymount from the 80s, or what was that, ladies, early 90s, all over again. It's not going to be like that, but it helps. You know, over the course of the game, you get a few more shots, a few more possessions. I'm all for it. I guess one of the big things is they'll have to figure out. I guess there's language in it to kind of define this a little more. Is, you know, block charge plays. I don't know what's a block and what's not.
I don't know either. And based on Twitter and the stands, I don't think anyone does.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is. Some people are suggesting just get rid of block or get rid of charge calls altogether. I don't know what the answer is, but I think that's something that they need to clean up.
Well, I think one thing for sure, and I think Jay Billis trumpeted it at some point, but they need to end the ability of the second defender to step in and take a charge. The only people that can take a block or a charge have to be the primary player, because too many times you were seeing players slide over and take a charge. And then you get in that hole, where they set, were they vertical, you know, all that stuff. And it's so nuanced. I actually think more than changing the block charge rules, I think what they need to do is they need to institute a fitness program for the officials, because I think some calls were made simply because officials were out of breath and unable to get in the correct position to make the call.
Yeah, maybe so. And I saw somebody propose this. He was mostly being facetious about it, but he said, if you dunk the ball over a guy, it should never be a charge.
Right.
If you reach the rim, like if you touch the rim on a dunk, it will never be a charge. I'm all for that, but I don't think that would ever be a rule, but he was mostly kidding about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's minor tweaks. One of the other proposals I saw, which I think would be great, and I'm sure Ed Cooley's going to be utterly devastated, but they were talking about essentially eliminating, and the rule needs some nuance and some checking, but basically that if a coach takes a timeout around the time when a TV timeout was going to happen anyway, or there's a stoppage of play because, you know, that would have caused a TV timeout within like 30 seconds, then that timeout becomes the media timeout and they don't double up, which would be great because Ed Cooley in the Providence game at in Milwaukee this year, I think did that four times.
Yeah, there's nothing more brutal than, you know, timeout, inbound the ball, foul, timeout.
Right.
You know? that's brutal. So yeah, I like that call. I also don't see why they can't. I guess I understand because you want to please the sponsors, but why can't you, instead of doing 16, you know, doing every four, doing every five, you know, just do the timeouts at 15, 10, and 5.
Yeah. Well, we have to maximize revenue here at the NCAA, where we're not for making money, but we seem to make a lot of it.
I understand. Get that paper.
Editorial comment alert.
Do what you got to do. So I guess I get it from that perspective. But at least the NCAA is not totally ignoring the idea that some of the games were a little tough to watch this past year. So hopefully the changes will be for the better. Nothing has been official or voted on yet, but I guess I do like some of the proposals. And also, I guess another thing in there is they're going to have hopefully fewer timeouts. It's going to be like, I think the proposal I saw is going to be five total, and two of them are use it or lose it in the first half. So the maximum number of timeouts you could have in the second half would be three.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I guess that's fine. I don't know about the use it or lose it thing. If a coach carries over a bunch of timeouts, so be it. I don't think that's any better or worse than, say, the NBA. So I can take that one or leave it. But I think the number of timeouts they have is fine as long as they're not doubling and tripling up with media timeouts. Otherwise that is excessive. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're watching an NFL game and you get, you know, extra point, commercial, kickoff, commercial, then run a play.
And maybe call a timeout, commercial.
Maybe a timeout, another commercial. Yeah. Yes. Too many timeouts. And I don't know what the answer is, but they have got to find some way to speed up looking at replay.
Oh.
The monitor review, like, I don't think there's any proposal of that nature anywhere. But the monitor reviews just absolutely wear me out.
Well, I know it's probably an expense, and again, you know, the NCAA is about collecting paper, not using it. But I really do think, and maybe this doesn't make sense anecdotally, but I think they need to go to a centralized review. Like there should be review. Like they should, the officials themselves shouldn't have to review whether a shot was a two or a three. Somebody else should be reviewing that and making that call so that play can continue, and then they can just adjust the score at the next time out or whatever. Like there's got to be some common sense ways about using review, and I don't buy the whole, well, the officials have to be the one to review it and make the call. It's like, whatever, what's a human on the court versus a human in a environmentally controlled room gonna do?
Yeah, but I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. If it means paying one more employee, like, oh no, we don't want to have to pay somebody else to do this and have like basically a fourth official who is the replay guy,
right?
They're just not gonna do it. I wish they would, you know, figure way to speed that up process up. But man, the reviews. Whew. The last 2 minutes of a game, timeout, review, timeout, review, more reviews, another timeout, fouling, review, timeout.
Well that's where there's an argument to be made, I suppose. I hadn't thought about that. But, you know, all the more reason maybe to remove timeouts from the second half because they're going to get them anyway when they review all this stuff.
Yeah, it's true. Like you see the end of that Spurs-Clippers series?
Yes.
When they essentially was it that one? But yeah, somebody got like an extra timeout while.
Yeah, because they were viewing something and they set up a last play
And they set up a play and it's brutal.
Yeah, I think that was the Spurs Clipper game when Chris Paul hit that ridiculous shot.
Yeah. Hopefully, college basketball gets cleaned up a little bit. Again, we'll see if those rules pass as the summer goes along. But I think we touched on mostly everything. I guess on the topic of the NBA, it's small news, but towards the end of the season, it was nice to see a few Marquette alums get called up. Dwight Bikes, Vander Blue, and Jarrell McNeil all got called up to 10-day contracts real late in the NBA season. So that kind of upped the number of NBA players from Marquette this year to 8. So it's good to see those guys getting a cup of coffee. I don't know if any of them will stick long term. I hope some of them do. I think Jarrell McNeil especially has proven that he is like maybe a little too good for the D League, but just like not quite on the level where he's going to stick in the NBA long term. Because every time he goes to the D League, he does really, really well.
Right,
he's like one of the best players. Was it
McNeil that got a chance because of Bike's injury, or Bike got a chance because of McNeil's injury?
Blue got a chance because of Bike. Yeah, Bikes got called up, got injured, and then the Lakers called up Blue for like 2 games, gave him a really hazardly put together jersey. Like it was definitely like a number 2 jersey, but Wayne Ellington was number 2, so they like slapped a 1 next to the 2, so it looked like the 12 was off center.
Yeah.
It was
apparently the Lakers are also in need of paper.
Yeah, I mean, you could go to the mall and get a better looking custom jersey than that. What he was wearing that night, they were just kind of like, screw it, he's going to be here for 2 games, just wear that.
Yeah. Not.
But it was good to see Vander Blue get called up, because you know, as much as we all kind of hated when he left Marquette, maybe hate isn't the right word, but I was disappointed that he left Marquette when he did. I didn't think it was the right move for him professionally, but I'm glad to see that he has worked as much as he has and gotten a chance to make some appearances in the NBA. Especially it seems like he's worked on his point guard skills more and more. Something that I think that's we all said that he could have done in his senior year at Marquette. But he's gotten those chances to be in the NBA, and we'll see if I'd like to see him stick with somebody, but I don't know if he will.
Well, I'm curious about the economics of it, because I'm surprised somebody like Blue or even Dwight Bikes, to a certain extent, don't go over to Europe and play in the top leagues and get some really big money. There must be some money in the D League and getting these 10-day contracts with the NBA that makes it worth sticking around for.
Well, I see a lot of these, like a lot of those leagues end early. Like especially like Jarrell McNeil, he definitely, and Bikes too, I think they both played in Spain this past year, and then the league ended.
I guess you're right. Yeah,
the league ended in like February or March or something, and then they get picked up by a D-League team. So I think that's for guys like them who are like not quite NBA players, I think that's kind of the best route, is to go to a strong pro league in China or Europe somewhere, get paid well, and then when your league ends, you get picked up by a D-League team, play for a couple months, and then maybe you get picked up by an NBA team. Obviously the ultimate dream is to play full year for an NBA team, but if that doesn't happen, I think that's the way you see, like the last couple years anyway, that's the way those guys go, is look, if they're in an NBA camp, and I wouldn't be surprised if all those guys are in an NBA camp at some point this summer or early fall, but when they get to the point where it's obvious that they're not going to make the team, that's when they go, all right, well, I could stick around here and cross my fingers, but I can do the math here and I can see I'm not going to make this roster, so I'm going to go get a really nice contract in Spain and we'll try this again in the spring.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it is good. I mean, nobody's done the math, but I feel like Marquette has, has to be top 10, top 20 universities with players at active rosters in the NBA.
They're up there. Somebody put a list out there towards the end of the season. Marquette wasn't in the top 5 for sure. I don't know if they were in the top 10, but they might be pushing that like 15 to 20 range. But like obviously the ones you'd expect would, Kentucky and Duke and Kansas, they have a lot, and I think Florida they all have a lot of players. But they're up there. I mean, 8's a lot.
Yeah.
that's a lot of pros. And hopefully more on the way.
Right. Well, and if you look at it, I mean, Marquette should have been really, really good a couple of years ago, because there was one point where Jimmy Butler and Vander Blue and Jay Crowder were all on the team together, and they're all serviceable NBA players, so it's kind of...
Especially Crowder. I was happy to see... I mean, Butler's going to get paid big time here in this offseason.
Oh, yeah. He maxed contract for sure.
Yeah. And so he'll get paid, and maybe in Chicago. We'll see if he goes somewhere else. But then Crowder, I was happy to see... once he got traded to the Celtics, he really kind of found a role with them. I think he's got one more year with the Celtics before he comes.
Yeah, he's still on his he's still on his rookie contract.
So, but I'm glad Crowder found a role there, because I think he'll be a nice role player for the Celtics. So I was happy to see that.
And no reason not to to hitch your wagon to the Brad Stevens train, because he's a heck of a coach.
Yeah.
Kind of glad he's out of the Big East.
I am too in that respect. I mean, publicity wise, as far as being a team player for the Big East, it'd be nice to still have him there. But you know, he might be running over the Big East right now and just kind of dominating, because I think everyone knows he's a great coach. And I think, honestly, I think any hope Duke fans had of him, you know, being fired in a couple years and then coming back to coach Duke when Coach K retires, I think that's almost out the window.
Yeah.
But anyway, not to talk too much NBA on this podcast, but
it is the off season.
It is the off season. I think we've touched on just about everything. I'm glad we're talking in a world in which Wisconsin is not the national champion.
That would have been tough.
Boy, we had to suffer through. We were very close to having one of the worst Final Fours Marquette fans could imagine, because Wisconsin made it, obviously, and we were dangerously close to having Louisville and Notre Dame both.
Yes.
Would have been tough to stomach.
Yeah, that would have this sports fan might not have watched that Final Four. I might have turned on HGTV and seen what the Property Brothers were doing or something on that night.
The funny thing is, like, when it was over, you know, I tried to be a good sport and say, look, give Wisconsin credit. They were a great team and had a great season. And, like, I'm glad I don't have to see Marquette play Kaminsky or Decker again. But then I did get a little bit of satisfaction having the real Bo Ryan come out. After the last game. I did actually enjoy that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's funny because we don't need to revisit all the Schadenfreude that went on, but you know, Bo Ryan did have those interviews where people were kind of jumped on him, and it was funny because it must have been long lasting because he was on a local, you know, morning show a couple of weeks ago, and I happened to be flipping through the channels. For those that are local, he was on Bob and Brian. Anyway, he was on, and they talked a little bit about the interview stuff, and he was still kind of backpedaling, changing the story he was talking about. So you know, it's like apparently we hit a nerve, and you know, because he was still talking about, oh well, I meant graduate transfers, and that's not, you know, that's not something. And then he's like, we only, you know, we build from within. I mean, if we got a graduate transfer that would, that could help us immediately because we couldn't develop that here, then yeah, absolutely, I would take one. And it's like, what are you, like, you have contradicted yourself six times in this very interview. What is the point?
And his players have still never committed a foul.
Correct. They've never committed a foul that they would own up to. And for the record, I mean, if they want to hold the whole academic profile out there, they did have the lowest graduation rate of any school in the conference in the tournament this year.
But they're just a bunch of hardworking kids who were there for school.
Correct. They're playing school.
Yeah. Again. Maybe trolling when you're a 13-win team isn't the best look. But
no, it's actually a pretty terrible look, especially if you're married to a Badger fan. So, but I do have to get it out somewhere.
Yeah, we got to voice our frustration, and why not do it when, you know, pretty much all of our audience is Marquette fans.
That is true. That is true.
Well, as always, we appreciate everyone for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. Again, you can always check us out on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M00F23. Crack Sidewalks is the team page. You find us on Facebook. That's where we post the blogs, on the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page, and we're on iTunes, so you can carry us wherever you go. Phil, closing thoughts?
Well, let's just enjoy the summer. We'll only talk a couple of more times probably, and it'll be months in between, but it's good to kind of relax and look forward to next season.
Yeah, it's kind of a no news is good news thing, right, for the most part. We'll see if Marquette adds any transfers. I really wouldn't expect, again, knock on wood here, but hopefully not much more news.
We should probably check Twitter before we end this podcast just to make sure no one else is committed.
Yeah, or transferred or anything else.
But right.
Again, if anything else, maybe we might check in halfway through the summer. Maybe are they doing the Pro League again this summer?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, so maybe we'll check in at some point. Maybe if we get a look at some of these guys. Oh, when the team goes to Italy this summer.
Yes, that'll be a big one.
Maybe we might check in with that as we see kind of what's maybe how the team's developing. But I think that's about it. Until next time, everyone. Seashells and balloons.